Hello, roadmen. We're winding our way towards the Pyrenees. We are on stage number 6 at the Tour de France. This is the Roadman Podcast. Let's cue that intro.
The big question is this: how do we use cycling as a tool to improve our health, our happiness, and our longevity? That is the question, and this podcast will give you the answers. My name is Anthony Walsh, and welcome to the Roadman Podcast.
Roadman, welcome back to the Roadman Podcast. We are winding our way towards the Pyrenees. Today we had stage number 6 from La Tille to Mont Aigal, 191 kilometers, with the first category called the Lucette coming very, very close to the finish. It was a stage which promised a lot, but in the end, it actually probably, you know, fuck it, let's call a spade, it disappointed, didn't it? It really did. The commentators on Eurosport were doing their best to try and paint it into something that it wasn't. It disappointed. There's a couple of talking points from today that I want to jump into. But before I do that, just let me mention to you patreon.com/Anthony_Walsh. Guys, Patreon is how we fund this podcast. I haven't, to this point, taken in any independent sponsors for the podcast. It's entirely funded through the generosity of the listeners. It's a little bit of a co-op type vibe. I'd like to continue with this for as long as feasibly possible. So the life and the health of the podcast is very much dependent on your generosity at the moment. I've decided to go daily with Tour de France podcast because it seemed to be what the listeners were calling out for. Got a lot of DMs, ran a couple of polls. But unfortunately, that places additional financial pressure on the podcast. And basically, I'm leaking cash out my pockets keeping the podcast going. So patreon.com/Anthony_Walsh is how you fund the podcast. Every month I give money, or I used to give money to Sky Sports. I used to give money to Virgin. I stopped doing all that. And now what I do is I fund Patreons who I enjoy listening to. I spend a lot of time out on the bike listening to podcasts. And I figured, why should I get this content for free? Somebody is working to deliver this content. There's a research cost. There's a time cost for creating the podcast. There's an upload cost, a hosting cost. So I want to be able to contribute to that. And that's when I started funding Patreons. And then when I started my own podcast, I thought it's such a beautiful way to do it that the listeners actually get to fund the podcast and we're all more a part of this roadman journey. So there you go, patreon.com. Today's stage was dominated by a breakaway, and it was a breakaway of powerhouses. At the business end of it, when it started splitting, we had Pels from EF Education, we had our very own friend of the show, Nicholas Roach, and we had Luchenko from Astana. I'm always so skeptical of any Astana lads. I don't know why. I just am. Well, I do know why. It's Vinokourov. We also had Greg Van Avermaet, and we had Jesus Herrada. Commentators might pronounce him Jesus. I call him Jesus. Jesus Herrada. Before we got going on all that, we had Patrick Lefebvre talking about the bottle incident yesterday. Alaphilippe took an illegal feed. He took it with about 18 kilometers to go. 20 kilometers to go was the cutoff for feeding. That rule exists for safety. They don't want people feeding at unsafe places. Now, a quick step, Soigneur said he chose there because of COVID and crowding, and he didn't want to be near crowds of people who were feeding, and it wasn't safe anywhere else. So he felt that he might get away with it. He didn't get away with it. Patrick Lefebvre, the controversial, we'll call him, Quick Step director and team owner, he just basically said it's their own absolute stupidity, and it's a really tragic way, stupid way to lose the yellow jersey in the Tour de France. So I don't imagine that Soigneur is going to be on Patrick Lefebvre's Christmas card list. I would say he's has kind of hanging his head pretty low around the dinner table at the moment. We had Peter Sagan as well saying basically he's not panicking, that he's been here before. He's won the green jersey 7 out of the last 8 years, and the year he didn't win it was the year he got expelled, wrongfully in my opinion, for that sprint finish with Cavendish where he stuck Cavendish allegedly into the barriers. He said we're only 6 stages in, and it's a long, long Tour de France, and we're just about to hit the mountains. He lost more points today, incidentally, in the green jersey contest as Ben took the intermediate. The main break of today probably should have got more time, but the presence of Greg Van Avermaet, banabama, na-na-na-na-na, banabana, na-na-na-na-na, once you start singing that song, it's stuck in your head all day. So you can thank me for when you're at the dinner table later on and you start going, na-na-na-na-na. Greg Van Avermaet was at 3 minutes 30 seconds, and that's why the peloton didn't really give them much rope. All day they got, I think they got a maximum lead of up to about 5 minutes, and they started reeling them in. There's only 13 seconds separating the top 15 on GC. There's an interesting stat for you. Just came across that one today. I thought, I can't remember the Tour de France. It's been so close, six stages in. We are moving towards the Pyrenees, so that 15 seconds or 13 seconds is going to become more like 13 minutes, I would say. Also, has anyone been watching on TV and, like, up the climbs, there's a normal amount of fans. I haven't, like, if you said to me this is a normal Tour de France, I would fully believe you. Finish line is pretty bad. Like, Bernie Eisel for Eurosport was commenting on, he felt sorry for Lutsenko winning a stage of the Tour de France. Bernie, don't feel sorry for Lutsenko. Feel sorry for yourself, mate. You didn't win a stage. Feel sorry for Lutsenko. Man's just won a stage of the Tour de France, giving him your pity. Bernie was saying he felt sorry for Lutsenko because there's no fans at the end. Now, I'm sure it was muted, but very, 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 very much doubt that it took any of the shine off for Lutsenko and Astana. But Bernie Eisel seemed to think it did. The fans on the hills, they're normal to me. There's a normal amount of fans there. They're deep, they have flares, they're drinking. It just seems a normal Tour de France. I speculate at the start of the podcast that I just could not see how you could stop people, taxpayers, citizens staying off open roads. There's no lockdown. It's not like a military sort of curfew imposed. So I just don't see how they're going to enforce that. And I think as we get to the Pyrenees, we're going to see huge crowds again. Funniest attack of the day had to be from Fabio Aru, the man who... It's like his brain and his legs aren't linked up. Not really sure whatever does be going on with him. Like, did the director tell him to attack on the Col de la Sette? He attacked the group of main GC rivals, if anyone hasn't seen this, and he got about maximum lead of 45 seconds. Bear in mind the break's 3.5 minutes away, so he got nowhere near them. Got a maximum lead of about 45 seconds, and that just got whittled down. He had about 15 seconds left over the top, and then he got caught on the descent. The most pointless waste of energy I have ever seen. If this had been a staging area for a Pogačar attack, maybe we could have seen that. But the exact opposite happened. Pogačar actually punctured, and he could have done what Aru there to guide him back, shepherd him back as one of his chief climbing domestiques. But Aru was nowhere to be seen because he was still up the road. It was just bizarre, and it's good to see Aru back moving relatively well, because he had that blood infection for the last couple of years, which kind of hampered his progress in cycling. But it's just, the man just doesn't think. Like, is it a director saying that to get some airtime for the jersey? But honestly, it was the stupidest shit I've seen in a long time from him. Ineos took control today. They hit the front of the peloton and they looked pretty good. That has to be a bit of a morale boost, because we've talked about how the change in the guard has happened, and it's Jumbo Visma at the moment. And actually, that was echoed by Pino on the finish line. I heard him being interviewed, and Pino was saying, no, Ineos are not the team. It's Jumbo Visma are the new powerhouse. They're the new controlling force in the peloton. But Ineos had to take a little bit of confidence back from the fact that they were able to get on the front of the bunch. They were able to ride tempo and control the race. Look, I promised yesterday there was going to be fireworks, and there wasn't fireworks. There was very little to say about today's stage. Everyone yapped on about yesterday's stage, the first Grand Tour stage in 12 years without a breakaway, being a boring stage. I didn't actually find yesterday that boring, mainly because I didn't watch the middle of the stage. I had it on mute and I was working away. But loads of stuff happened, like the drama with Alaphilippe, Bennett, Sagan. Today was just a little bit of a nothing stage, because Lutsenko had the stage win in the bag. Then we'd a bunch sprint, I suppose, for where Alaphilippe gave a little bit of a fuck you to the jury yesterday. And it was a very little fuck you now, because he got 1 second back by winning the bunch sprint. It was a show of strength, or it was a waste of energy. I don't know, whatever way you want to flip it on its head. I think it was worth doing. In the end, we had Lutsenko won the stage. We had Jesus Herrada coming in second. We had Greg Van Avermaet. Greg Van Avermaet, just no sense of charity about the man. He had Paulus from EF Education in the break. It was the man's birthday, and he wouldn't even give him a spot on the podium. Tough, tough, tough world we're living in. GC is unchanged, but Adam Yates, top of GC. I'd love to get Matt White actually on. I might try and reach out to Matt White. It's hard to get the boys that are on the tour on. Like Chris Yule Jensen would be brilliant to chat to at the moment, because he's obviously on the front of the bunch in the Tour de France defending yellow. But I know Chris spoke in the podcast he had with us about how he's a little bit of a reputation for being a messer on Grand Tours. And, you know, that's something he's been working on, that he seemed to waste a lot of energy, and him and Matt Heyman clashed a bit back a couple of Grand Tours ago, just because Yule was just messing and called the Joker. And so I don't know, maybe it just doesn't sit when I'm coming on doing podcast interviews in the middle of the tour. I'll reach out to the boys and see if it's possible, but look, I'm not going to promise that. And we'll most likely, I'd say, get anyone that's doing the tour after the tour. Roglic is second at 3 seconds, and Pogačar, however you pronounce his name, he's at 7 seconds. Tomorrow we have stage 7, 168 kilometers from Milieu to Lavur. 2 category 3 climbs and 1 category 4 climb. It's a sprint day, make no mistake. Bennett, I talked about, I don't think he should be going for the intermediates. He went for it again today. When you're going for the intermediates, you take your eye off the stage wins. You're worried about getting, you don't go through the gap because you're worried about coming down in the crash and losing all the points. When you're going for the stage win, you need to be a killer. I prefer to see Bennett winning stages. Doesn't look like he's going to go for it. I haven't tallied up points and the likelihood of Bennett getting over climbs as we get to the Pyrenees. It just seems to me like it's almost an impossible task when Sagan can climb so well and Bennett can't climb that well. So I don't know, time will tell. Roadman, we march onwards towards the Pyrenees. Stage 7 of the Roadman podcast is tomorrow, and in the meantime I would ask you to pop across to Patreon. Your generosity is not only needed, it is very much welcomed. Plus it's really vindication for me that the podcast is going the right direction, that you're enjoying the content. You know, I can see it from the download numbers, which, by the way, August, boom, we smashed our download figures. We're up about 20% from the previous month, which was up about 30% from the previous month. So thanks very much for everyone that's sharing the podcast around, because that's really the way podcasts get listened to. I know a buddy of mine told me to listen to the Pat Dibley podcast. He actually had to tell me about 5 times before I actually listened and went and listened to the Pat Dibley podcast. So if you've told someone about the Roadman podcast, keep chasing them. Have you listened? What did you think? Have you listened? That's the way we get it growing. Guys, thanks very much. We'll be back tomorrow for stage 7 at the Tour de France. Look after yourselves, Roadmen.